Mike Pence, great job you're doing, and hello, Toledo. We love Toledo. We remember I was here a lot. You remember 2016, what a year that was, right? And 2020 is going to be even better, no doubt. But I'm thrilled to hold the first rally of 2020 right here in the great state of Ohio. And as we begin the new year, our economy is booming, wages are soaring, workers are thriving, and America's future has never, ever looked brighter. Never. With the envy of every country in the world, we've created 7 million brand new jobs since our election. And we will soon be replacing the disaster known as NAFTA with the incredible brand new USMCA, the historic victory for Ohio farmers, workers, and manufacturers, but really a great victory for the United States. It's an incredible agreement. You remember I came and I talked about, I'd always talk about how bad our trade deals are. We did a brand new one with Korea. So now we have South Korea. We just finished a big one, $40 billion with Japan. On January 15th, we're signing Monster, a big, beautiful monster, $40 to $50 billion to our farmer. That's our farmers will be taking in. I keep saying, go buy larger tractors. Go buy larger tractors. No way. I don't know if you know the story. My people wanted $20 billion of purchase, right? $20 billion. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of corn. $20 billion. And I said, make it 50. China's very big. And they said, okay. They said, sir, the farmers can't produce that much. I said, let the farmers tell me that. Tell them to go out, remember, and buy a bigger what? Tractor, buy a bigger tractor. You'll produce it. So $40 to $50 billion of agricultural product and the manufacturers and the car companies, and we brought a lot of car companies into Ohio, you know that. A lot of them coming in. A lot of them have already been brought in. They're coming in from Japan. They're coming in from all over the world. This is where they want to be. They want to be in the United States. That's where the action is. They're all coming back. I used to go around talk about how everyone's leaving. They're all leaving. A lot of you are victims of that leaving. These companies would leave. They'd go to Mexico. They'd go to Canada. They'd close up. They'd buy from China. Now they're all coming back. New ones,
Adeline,
old,
maybe.
They're all coming back. And many are coming right here to Ohio. And you didn't know it, Ohio just had the best year economically in the history of your state. That's not bad. And this year is going to be even better, maybe much better. But weeks ago, I signed the largest ever investment in the United States military, $738 billion, and we created the sixth branch of the United States Armed Forces, the Space Force, and everybody's excited about that.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Glad you're here. We're listening to President Trump's live rally last week from Toledo, Ohio. Enjoy, and we'll start the call at the top of the hour. Thank you.
We have fully rebuilt the United States military. Some of it's still coming in. We have everything. We've got new planes. We've got new rockets, new missiles. We've got new everything. And it's either here or coming in. $2.5 trillion in new investments. Our military is now stronger and more powerful than ever before. remember 3 years ago when I took over, we were depleted. Our military was totally depleted. And by the way, speaking of our military, have we taken care of our vets with choice? Choice. With choice. That was a big thing. You know, I used to go around and the VA was a terrible situation. People would wait weeks. He's right. He said, yes, it was. You don't hear too much about that anymore, do you know? Choice and accountability. You know what accountability is? For 44 years, they tried to get accountability. That somebody bad works for the VA, you couldn't fire them. You couldn't fire them. They could be sadistic. They could be thieves. They could be whatever they were. You couldn't get rid of them. We got accountability approved, and now we say, you're fired, get out. We get somebody that's good. 44 years. And maybe most importantly of all is choice. VA, Veterans Choice. So now you wait in line, and a lot of times you'd be waiting in line for 4, 5, 6 weeks. You couldn't see a doctor. Now if you have to wait, you go out to a private doctor. You get yourself taken care of. We pay the bill. What a difference it's made. What a difference. You know, when I was a little bit newer to this game.
Good evening, everybody. We're listening to President Trump's live rally last week in Toledo, Ohio. We will start the call in just a minute. Thank you. Well, there was somebody in the crowd at the Trump rally making trouble. That's what all the commotion was. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the prayersfor45.com call for Sunday. It is January 12th. I see a lot of our old-time friends that have been with us a long time on the call. I see some new callers. And bienvenido, mi persona favorito in Colombia. We have a good friend of mine from Colombia on the line tonight. Well, good evening, everyone. We are here Sunday night, as we always are, to pray for President Trump, his family, the administration, and for some of the things going on in the world, the reset of the rule of law. So we'll do our two prayers, as always. I was thinking the other day about when we first started this prayer call and I was talking with the two gentlemen from the Christian broadcasting firm that asked me to do this, and we were talking about how comfortable we were and how good we felt when President Trump was elected. I was telling them I had the night of the election, I had a very easy feeling, comfortable feeling about the future. I didn't know what kind of president Trump was going to be, but knew one thing for certain, we were all glad she didn't win, and we knew we had a lot of hope the night of the election, and here we are 3 years later, and I think he has exceeded everybody's expectations. This is a man who has not only delivered on his promises, promises made, promises kept, but he has gone way above and beyond. And the one thing we really didn't know for sure, a lot of skeptics. I was very hopeful that, in fact, he would be draining the swamp and taking care of business, resetting the rule of law, and taking care of the human trafficking and the deep state players, the bad actors, all the corruption throughout the world. We really weren't sure how he would approach that. And many thought he was different. He was an outsider, but likely compromised or couldn't break free of the central banking system and their controllers and the cabal, and many felt he couldn't do it. But here we are. He's done it. He has broken free of the system. He has patriots around him helping him not only drain the swamp, but do so much more. And it's amazing. Isn't it, Kimberly, amazing how much he's been able to accomplish despite all of the attacks on him?
Right? I mean, he basically took their own weapon and used it against them.
Indeed. He has taken all of the weapons and tools they had in place, and he's turned it around and used it against them, that's for sure.
I mean, that is actually a biblical principle. Do you know that? It is actually again and again and again, especially through the Old Testament, God would take the enemies of Israel and turn them on themselves. And that is actually the focus of my prayer tonight, because we know that this weekend is a pivotal weekend in the camp of the pit of hell against our president, our nation, and our globe. So I love your open. I had no idea what you were going to say, and it just led right into it. I love that, Scotty.
Well, we're always in sync, and let you take the floor, and we'll talk. Stick around, everyone. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the things going on and how the reset of the rule of law is coming around, and Betty will lead our second prayer. But, Kimberly, it's your dime and your dance floor.
Woohoo! Hey, I wanted to start this evening's prayer call with reading an article that was emailed to me this week by someone I heavily respect. It is this: Trump versus the New World Order, written by Dr. James Veltmeyer, who is a prominent La Jolla physician, the top doctor in San Diego County in 2012, 2014, 16, 17, and 2019. Trump, the existential threat to New World Order, by James D. Veltmeyer, M.D. The ongoing attacks by the political establishment on President Donald Trump, which began even before he was elected, are without parallel in history. The savagery, frenzy, and outright hysteria displayed by the president's enemies within the Democratic Party, the media, and the various power centers of the globalist elites have no precedent. This president has been spied on, lied about, made the subject of phony foreign dossiers, insulted, ridiculed, scorned, mocked, and threatened. We have witnessed Hollywood celebrities advocate for blowing up of the White House, demand the president be beaten, jailed, or even assassinated, and his children tortured and sexually abused. We have seen politicians in Washington try to convict the president of non-existent crimes, investigate him and his family members for everything from tax returns to guests at his hotels, projecting on him crimes that they themselves have committed, and then seed his administration with both leakers and double agents. No other president in American history has been treated in such a shameful manner. Not Lincoln, not FDR, not Nixon, not Reagan. What is it about this president that has roused such demons in his political foes? What is it about this president that drives his opponents to the brink of insanity? What is it about this president that so terrifies and terrorizes the Pelosis and the Schiffs and the Schirmers and the George Soroses? Is it simply that he is not part of the club, a brash outsider with a different style? Is it merely because he's outspoken and tramples on political correctness? Is it because he's sometimes unpresidential in his demeanor, at least in their minds? Not at all. After all, aren't these the same folks who loved Bill Clinton, whose extracurricular activities involved cigars and staining blue dresses in the Oval Office? Of course, Clinton was beloved by the globalist elites who pull the strings on world governments. He gave them NAFTA, after all. He gave them the WTO, which stands for World Trade Organization. He made tens of billions of dollars for them and their stockholders through these unfair trade deals that cost America 5 million manufacturing jobs and closed 70,000 factories. He also gave the military-industrial complex plenty of profit-making military interventions from Haiti to Bosnia to Serbia and Iraq. Bill Clinton, for all his corruptions, delivered the goods for the New World Order. Donald Trump, of course, never played ball with these globalists. He was elected explicitly on an anti-globalist platform that put America first. From day one, he started to implement that America First agenda, earning him the undying enmity of all those whose profits are secured by selling out American workers, American jobs, and America's national sovereignty. President Trump pulled us out of the TPP, billions in lost profits from the globalists. President Trump pulled us out of the job-destroying Paris Climate Accord, billions in lost profits for Americans, for foreign nations like communist China at our expense. Just read NASA's report. President Trump began the process of securing the U.S. borders. Again, billions in lost, cheap, illegal immigrant labor for the business roundtable. President Trump imposed tariffs on China, becoming the first president ever to address Beijing's annual $500 billion pillage of our economy. That's billions in lost profits for corporations who ship our jobs to one of the worst tyrannies on planet Earth. President Trump renegotiated NAFTA, again, billions in lost profits for the cheap labor crowd. President Trump launched the process of extricating the United States from endless foreign wars and avoiding new wars with nations like Iran and North Korea. Billions, perhaps billions, in lost profits for the globalist war machine. So, is the picture becoming clearer? In each instance, the president's policies have represented a dramatic upending of the globalist agenda of both parties. The Carter, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama agenda of continuous war and the continuous looting of America's wealth and continuous hollowing out of the American middle class. With both parties and their representatives in Congress beholden to campaign donors whose profits are threatened by Trump's America First initiative. Is it no wonder that both Democrats and never Trump Republicans, all globalists, socialists, are determined to bring this president down? Most of the mass media is controlled by these same globalist corporations. After all, doesn't Amazon Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world, own the Washington Post? As was said in Watergate, just follow the money. And while you're following the money, see if it leads to a $500 million left-wing slush fund run by a shadowy Soros and Clinton-linked group called Arabella Advisors, which is funding the quote-unquote anti-Trump political agenda through dozens of high-sounding front groups. Folks, the New World Order gang is in full retreat, praise God, all over the globe. From Brexit in the UK to the populist governments in Hungary and Poland to the Yellow Vest movement in France and Salvini in Italy, the middle and working classes are demanding the overthrow of their national destroying overlords. These overlords who have flooded their countries with unassimilatable immigrants from North Africa and who have surrendered their sovereignty to the European Union and its unaccountable bureaucrats in Brussels. Instead, they have lived the unfulfilled promises of the globalists that giving up national sovereignty and relocating jobs abroad would usher in a new era of peace and prosperity. Instead, the exact opposite has happened. The globalist vision has resulted in $7 trillion of pointless wars in the Middle East, an immigrant crisis, the loss of jobs, the declining standards of living. In the United States, Donald J. Trump has emerged as the New World Order's most tenacious and determined foe. As he fights the good fight for the American people, our constitutional rights, our liberties, and the sovereignty of our nation, he is an existential threat to the New World Order. Unlike other Republican presidents of the recent past, he cannot be bought, and he has no price. Unlike them, he doesn't give in, and he does not give up. Go ahead, globalists. Try your impeachment games. Try your Senate trials. It won't work. In fact, it will backfire on all of you, as after 3 years of trying to prevent the Electoral College from voting for Trump, stopping the inauguration, unleashing Jim Comey and the FBI, CIA spying Robert Mueller and his phony Russiagate probe, tax returns, emoluments, Kavanaugh, and all the rest, the patience of the American public is wearing thin. We aren't as stupid as you think we are. Something you will soon recognize clearly come November 3rd, 2020. Lord, we come into your presence. We thank you. We thank you for this article that was published this last week. Lord, we thank you for this gentleman that you obviously inspired to write this word. Father, it's powerful. It's powerful because it so quickly summarizes the full-on demonic attack against our president, your plan, this nation, and our globe. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that we are here tonight, joined across the world, to tear down this globalist agenda, this one world order agenda. We tear it down in Jesus' name. We speak against it. We come against it with the blood of Jesus, thanking him for rising from the dead and proving that he has authority over the pit of hell. We stand in agreement tonight, speaking against every curse, every incantation, every evil thought that is being promoted this weekend against our president, against his family, against our sovereignty as a nation, and against our globe and those who represent life and truth and everything good that you represent, Father. We come against it. We cast it down. We declare that it is defeated. It is under our foot in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this authority to pray in your name and declare it done as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name that you would continue to protect our president, that you would continue to prolong his days, that you would continue to advance your kingdom and your plan in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that we can boldly enter in knowing that we don't deserve anything, but that we come in humbly because you said we could, that you would grant, if we prayed according to your will, what we ask on earth to be done in heaven. We stand in agreement for that. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of multiplication and not simply addition. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you that you have spoken these things, Lord, and we stand on your word. We thank you that we can cast down every imagination that exalts itself over you. We thank you that every spirit that is not of the spirit of the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is defeated in Jesus' name. Let it be done in your name, Jesus. We pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kimberly. Always wonderful that you take the time to lead us in our first prayer. And speaking of taking the time, we really appreciate, we have 33 people on the call tonight. We know all of your lives are very busy, and there's a lot of challenges on our time, so we greatly appreciate all of you that took the time to attend the call tonight. You're the reason we do this, and we thank you for being here. I see a lot of familiar names on the call list tonight, some new people, so welcome again, everybody, old and new, to the Prayers for 45. As we move into January here, it's really encouraging to see so many people on a Sunday night on a call. Well, as I bring Betty in to lead our second prayer, want to just briefly say that, as I said in the open, we really didn't know what we were going to get in November of 2016. I think many of us voted for Trump. I actually worked for his campaign here in San Diego and did so out of a strong desire for her not to win. I was more motivated about Hillary not winning. As Trump got the nominee and he began to speak, including a live event he did here in San Diego, where he stuck his foot in his mouth. He said something about Mexicans that was taken out of context. But me and some guys were working security and setting up barriers the night before. And as we were doing it, we were talking about why we were doing it. And Kimberly, you just really hit on it. That article says it all. This is why we're here. We have a man that is really doing it for us. As he said in his famous speech, he's taking all the slings and arrows for us. And this past week proved once again how ridiculous and absurd his detractors are. Under what circumstances could anybody be critical, disagree, and let alone put a guy like Qasem Soleimani on a pedestal, as they did? I heard people on CNN saying he was loved and revered, and it's not right to take out a leader of another country. We see their hypocrisy. We see their hatred. We see their disingenuous words about our president. If President Trump walked on water, the headline in the New York Times would be, "Trump can't swim." So these are people that we are up against. We are all together in this battle of the spiritual war of good versus evil. And Betty, I'm going to bring you in to lead our second prayer and tell us what's on your mind tonight.
No, it's funny you brought all that up, that question of, you know, how can all these people be against what the president is trying to do when he's been working for the benefit of America to prosper us and to, he wants to get rid of, you know, the reset of the rule of law and building the wall so that we can stop, you know, the so many people coming in because we just can't afford it anymore. That's got to be done in the right way. It's complete folly. It is truly incomprehensible that anyone would be against everything that he is doing when what all that he is doing is for the benefit of this country, to restore it to what it once was and to set things right and to get rid of evil. And the very verses that I wanted to read today in Hosea answer that very question. I'm reading from Hosea chapter 9. And it's talking about, it's God facing off with Israel, you know, the Bible is really God unfolding his plan, and he chose the nation of Israel to unfold that plan through whom he wants to unfold that plan. And when they turned against him, it went very badly, and they were warned in advance. If you obey, it goes well, and if you don't, all these calamities will befall you. And he's talking to Israel, but the here in these verses that I'm going to read, but the lesson is there for all of us, because anybody who turns away from God doesn't listen to good advice. They think that those who are speaking good advice, like the prophets, they thought the prophets were fools, and they were sent by God. They didn't want to believe them because they were so caught up in their own sin that the wise man sounded foolish, and that is what we are seeing today in our nation, that right is wrong and wrong is right. And so I'm reading, starting Hosea chapter 9, starting with verse 7. But here's what's going to happen. God will not be patient forever. So I'm starting with verse 7. The days of punishment have come. The days of retribution have come. Let Israel know this. The prophet is a fool. The inspired man is demented because of the grossness of your iniquity and because your hostility is so great. And I'm jumping down to verse 9. Part of 8. And there is only hostility in the house of his God. They have gone deep in depravity, as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. They are not going to get away with this. We do have a God who hears and knows and is in control of all things, and he's wanting to reset everything. And that's what our prayer is, to reset, that God would be in control and that righteousness would prevail, and that the rule of law, God's law, and this earth, how he meant it to be, would begin to be restored. And so we're just going to bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up your glorious name on high. I truly sing your praises on this, your holy day that we, your church, observe the Sabbath. And so we acknowledge, Lord, that you're in control and that nothing is hidden from you. You know the hearts of men. You know the hearts of the kings. You know all the actions that all of these rulers have planned in darkness. And Lord, we ask that your glorious light of truth would shine into all of the dark places. There is horrific darkness and plotting and evils abounding on this earth, Lord, but you are a God of light, and your tremendous light will dispel all of the dark places. And we are asking that you would begin to shine upon men again. The earth has turned against you, Lord, but you have a people here. You have a remnant, Lord, and we are asking that you would come down and shine your light for the sake of your remnant, and that you would restore, that you would give one last hope before the end comes and your judgment comes and the tribulation comes, Lord. We ask that you would come and shed your light and expose the evil. Expose the evil deeds of corruption. There's bribery, Lord. There's human slavery. Children are sold as sex slaves. There's murder. There's theft. People are robbing a corporation. CEOs are robbing the corporations. People are giving false witness. We see that in the case of General Flynn. They've entrapped him. And so, Lord, we ask that you would set it right, that you do not tolerate sin forever, and that the day of retribution, we ask that it would be now. And we have seen it already, Lord. That day of retribution has come. We know that you have set this president, who is not a perfect man, but you have put him there for a reason, Lord, and that you are working out your purposes even through him. Lord, we exult that you can work out your amazing purposes through anyone, that you could do it through each one of us, though we are not perfect. And so, Lord, continue to use our president and continue to surround him with faithful advisors so that they can continue to carry out the plan to reset the rule of law in every area, in the banking system, in the global markets, Lord, in the politics, in regime changes, with rulers that are up to no good, that are trying to destroy this country and destroy our citizens, Lord. We ask for your protection. And so I pray that he would have just a tough shell, that he would continue to ignore what he's hearing from all of the evil government actors, and ask that you would allow him to listen to just those voices that are from you, Lord. And so bring to light any unholy alliances, Lord, whether they are regimes that hate America. There are regimes, Lord, that want to destroy us. They want to destroy our God-ordained institutions of marriage and freedom of speech and education and the right to protect our freedom. And, Lord, we ask that you would expose those evil alliances for what they truly are, and deliver us from all of those secret enemies. There are people who are overt enemies, and then there are those that are just crouching down and pretending to be our friends, but then they're truly our enemies, Lord. And so we ask that you would expose them. Deliver us from everybody who supports the New World Order, Lord. And it's an order that stands in arrogant opposition to your law because they think that they are above the law. They want to exterminate all the lowlifes because they think that they are better than everybody else, Lord. And so we ask that you would topple all of those regimes, topple all of those leaders, and put in place, Lord, godly, righteous leaders that will restore those regimes and those countries back to the rule of law, like with America, so that we would have friends on this planet with whom we can cooperate. And Father, we ask, lastly, that you would remove the veil of deception over our country. There are so many that are still not awake. We praise you for waking us up. You've been so gracious to do it. Lord, I know with me slowly and that you've lifted the veil, it was painful, and I know it's going to be painful for those as you begin to rouse the lion, Lord, and wake up this country. It's going to be painful, and so I pray that you would begin to prepare the hearts of men, shine your light into their hearts, and that you would wake the people up from their slumber and prepare their hearts and minds to receive the truth, the awful truth of what's really been going on behind the scenes of power. And so, Lord, wake them up. And we ask that you would give ear to our words and listen to our groanings, Lord, and hear the sounds of our cry for help. And we pray to you, Lord. We stand here humbly. We hate all who do iniquity. And we ask that you would destroy everyone who speaks falsehood. We know that you hate men of bloodshed and deceit, but we know that you are kind to all of those who enter your house, who come up before you, who approach your temple and approach you with humility and awe, to bring our request to you, Lord. And so lead us in righteousness and lead us away from our foes and make a path straight for your righteousness and for your will to be done. And so, Lord, hold all of those who are guilty, guilty. Let them fall by their own devices and bring them down in the multitude of their transgressions. Thrust them out because they are rebellious against you. But, Lord, let all of us who take refuge in you be glad. And we rejoice because you are a God who reigns, and we know your kingdom wins. We know you win the battle. The battle has already been won, and we rejoice that we are a part of that plan and a part of that victory. And we claim that victory today, right now, in the powerful name of Jesus, who died and was victorious over sin. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Betty. You know, you said a couple things. One really resonated as I was talking with my brother the other day and trying to explain what I meant by a spiritual war. I didn't think it needed explanation, but he was sort of challenging the statement that this is a spiritual war. And you said that God does not tolerate sin forever. And that really explains very well this spiritual war, because it is our time. God has had enough. He has seen enough since at least 1913. This one world order, this new world order, the cabal, the evil central banking cabal, their politicians, their media, they have had a free reign and have been sinning against we the people for over 100 years, and really it is our time, and God is no longer tolerating their sin, so I really relate to that. And the other thing you said was they think they are better than anyone else, and anyone who's ever dealt with somebody that has some power in government, or if you've dealt with a celebrity or a personality in the media, as I have, they really truly walk around. We just see it in Hollywood. They really think they're better than us, don't they?
They do. There are people, you get to a level of, I don't know, I guess money or power, you get to a certain level and you do see yourself as above the masses. People, and you especially see it with people who are extremely educated, and they have little tolerance for those who lack education and think that they're beneath them, and they don't approve of their choices. You know, really the way to deal with that is to see men through the eyes of God. And how does God see them? You know, we're all sinners. And so we have to judge people based on, are they following God's law or not, no matter how much money they make or how much education they have. If they are a humble man or woman of God who seeks after truth, then they are God's children. We're all God's children, but they're worthy in God's sight. And so God wants to save all mankind, and it's very God. And God says it's harder for a rich man to get into easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. And so their riches and their education ends up ensnaring them. All that power ends up becoming a snare, not a blessing, but it ends up becoming a curse.
Well said. Well said. Well, Kimberly and Betty, thank you for, as always, leading our prayers. And as long as I have you on the line here, Daniel, I'm going to bring you on to introduce you. We have a new prayer leader I want to introduce everybody. He's a very young man, I believe 20 or 21 years old, and our newest prayer leader. Daniel, say hello to everybody.
Hey, guys. I am so thankful to be able to share the heart of God with you guys, to be able to pray in for the, you know, President of the United States. And I just come in such adoration for what, you know, God is doing. And I just, we live in very, very exciting times in our lives, guys. And I believe that through this group, and I'm not saying that our group is better than any other groups, because I've seen other groups out there too, but I believe the prayers of this group are being heard from the heavens above, that God looks down, he says, I see my children every week, two times a week. They sit, they lay down, and they speak God's life over, you know, what God is doing. And I just believe wholeheartedly that I'm so glad that, you know, I'm able to be an encouragement and be able to pray for what God is doing. And like Scotty said, I think last week, I have a ministry channel called Number 10 Ministries, and it's on YouTube, and it's all for the glory of God. But if you guys, you know, have a chance to look that up on YouTube, I'd be more than blessed for you guys to be able to see, you know, what God is doing for that channel. And I just, I'm so thankful to be able to just be able to speak life and to be able to, you know, pray encouragement, because I believe, you know, God has called not just me, obviously, but other people, you know, in the world to be intercessors. Because my name, Daniel, is an intercessor name. You know what Daniel did all of his life? He prayed three times a day. And he sanctified his life. He was walking so close with God that he was willing to be put to death by lions. Like, we need that type of faith in our culture. And I believe that God is bringing up generations to come to have that faith to be able to pray without ceasing, like it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So, Scotty, thank you so much for having me be a part of the prayer team. And I thank God for the breakthrough that's coming in the year 2020. Because watch, guys, you don't know how much power there's in prayer until you see the results of the fruit of prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Daniel, it's great to have you, and invite all your friends. It's wonderful to see a young man like you with so much heart and passion for what we're doing and to support the president. I think we're living in a time where, more than any other, the youth of this country, I'm sure they're split in 2020. The vote will be split from the young millennials and folks your age, Daniel. Probably split between Sanders, if he is their candidate, or whoever the Democrats bring to this. Probably will be split the vote over the youth, but it's really, to me, more than ever before, we're seeing young people get involved. You see them at Trump's rallies. You see
yep.
them all around wearing MAGA hats, and now we see it here
oh,
with
yeah.
you, Daniel, and we're glad to have you, and you're quite an inspiration to the young people. So it's great to have you.
Just
and
to, just a quick source of encouragement. I don't mean to cut you off.
That's quite all right.
There are people, just from the people that I know, you know, I live in central Kentucky, so there's not still a lot of people, but there's still some population here. I went to a conference called the Passion Conference a few weeks ago, which, by the way, was really neat. You know, a bunch of young people were just ringing the new year by praising God, you know, the 2020. I was talking with one of my friends, his name is Kenny, and I was talking to him about the, you know, the exposure about what the president was doing, and he had the same ideas that I was about the corruption. And, you know, I've talked with people around my age, and there is exposure in the younger generation, but I do believe you're right, Scotty. There is a weight going on with, you know, the younger generation, but I believe there's going to be more awakening this year, you know, with the younger generation. I've also been starting to invite people that are around my age, and I know the man named Christian Thurman that I invited a few days ago. He lives in Arizona, and he's in a graduate college. You know, he's going to be probably trying into this college too. So I'm trying to have a lot of exposure for, you know, this for people my age, so that we would be able to build clientele and people to be able just to experience the glory of God, you know, through what, you know, God's using President Trump for.
Well, it's great to have you, and great to see that you and young people your age are coming on board and waking up. And I think as the arrests start to happen, and they're undoubtedly going to happen this year, nobody knows when for sure, but I sense sometime this spring we'll start to see indictments and arrests. And I think that will wake up a lot more people to the reality of the world we have been living in, and the strength and the courage and the fortitude that this president is bringing in the fight against the evil ones. So thank you again, Daniel. On that note, we will close, as we always do, with a prayer of gratitude. So let me begin. As the days turn to a new year, let us give thanks for all we hold dear, our health, our family, and our friends. Let us release our grudges, our anger, and our pains, for these are nothing but binding chains. Let us live each day in the most loving ways, the God-conscious way. Let us serve all who are in need, regardless of race, color, or creed. Let us keep God of our own understanding in our hearts, and to chant God's name each day. Let us lead the world from dark to light, from falsehood to truth, and from wrong to right. Let us remember that we are all one, embracing all, discriminating against none. May our year be filled with peace, prosperity, and love. May God's blessing shower upon all of us and our families, and bestow each of us a bright, healthy, and peaceful 2020. Lord, we gathered here tonight to pray, excited and grateful that our great president is here to serve all of us. Through the work of our president and the great patriots helping him, we pray you teach us to offer you a heart of thanksgiving and praise in all of our daily experiences of life. Teach us to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all of our circumstances. We accept them as your will for our lives, and we long to bring gratitude for you each day. We're grateful you heard our prayers tonight. We're grateful for our prayer leaders, Kimberly and Betty, for Diane, Pastor Joseph, Christine, Ingrid, and our new prayer leader, Daniel. Lord, we're grateful for all the prayer warriors that joined us on this call tonight, those that have been with us since the very first days in August of 2018, and I see some of the new callers on the phone tonight. Lord, we're so grateful you have brought them to this call and to our group. Lord, let our roots grow down into you. Let our lives be built around you. Our faith will grow strong in the truth, and we will overflow with thankfulness. Thankfulness for our president, for this prayer group, for the good people that's surrounded by President Trump, for the agenda of the Patriots, and ultimately to regain our sovereignty that binds us in our ability to come together tonight in prayer. We will not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. When we live in the power of God, we get stronger and all fears disappear. Lord, we're so grateful for everything you've given us. Thank you so much for the loved ones in our lives, for the many ways in which we are all cared for and supported. We thank you from the bottom of our heart. And thank you again, everybody. Great to have you on Sunday night. We'll be back Thursday. Hang up the phone, give someone a big hug, and have a great Sunday night. God bless you, and God bless President Trump, and God bless America. Good night.